For though we live in the world, we do not war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we'll be ready to punish every act of disobedience once our obedience is complete. Lord, in the name of Jesus, our obedience cannot be complete without you. We need your help. We ask, O God, that you help us today as we deliberate on your word. I also ask that you help me to be able to bring these arguments into subjection, to clear every doubt, O God, as I bring your word. Holy Spirit of God, I yield myself to you, and I ask that you would help me to bring your counsel exactly how you've said it. I ask that you help me not to bring in mine thought lines and all that, but that I will bring the express word of God in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So this is the part two of advancing the kingdom and holding grounds. And we're looking at Joshua chapter 2. So the presentation for this this teaching will be on the website. Actually, I shared a different presentation with Andy, so we'll put it on the website so that you just look at it and pick the things that are there also. Praise God. So I'm not going to read the whole of the chapter of the second chapter of Joshua. So I'll just pick verse 1. To bring a background to it, what happened there, Andy shared yesterday on the WhatsApp group that we should go through because of our time. I expect that you would have gone through the chapter 2. If you've not, when you get home today, please do. So let's go straight. What happened there was that it's more like a covert operation, a secret service operation that Joshua sent spies into Jericho. Now, when the spies entered, the what's it called in the UK? MI5, right? The MI5 of Jericho picked that intelligence, and the king assigned the secret service agents to go after Rahab. Rahab was the lady that they were really, the intelligence was clear. It was really very, very true. Rahab was the lady that the guys came to, and they operated from her place. But coincidentally, Rahab was a prostitute. Yeah? So they came to her, and after operating with her, you can see how God works. The prostitute picked the season that God was bringing to the Israelites, and he told them that, see, I perceive that your God is going to give you our land. I've heard the fear of you are everywhere. Our army, the secret service guys, you know that prostitutes, they have a way of knowing everybody. Yeah. So she's also heard from the secret service guys that comes around that see what's happening, that, you know, we heard that Israel is around and this is what's happening. We've heard of what they've done to Gog. We've heard of what they've done to other nations. And from our assessment of our military arsenal, I don't think that we'll be able to withstand what they are bringing. So she was able to give the spies these informations and all that. And after that, they now went back to Joshua to give him feedback on what they got. So, but one of the big questions there is, why did Moses send two, just two, as against 12? Why did Joshua send two as against 12 that Moses sent? So that brings me to the main message for today, which is that there is a new season. It was in the dawn of a new season for Israel, because as at that time, Moses has done a good job for 40 years leading Israel to that point. Where they were as at then, they've been there before. I hope you know, if you follow that story. They've come to that point before, and they were not ready. So God had to send them back again for 40 years. And now, in that 40 years, the reason why God sent them back was to deal with the flesh. And I want you to relate it to our lives now as Christians. There are some things, some challenges that comes to you, and you're wondering, why would God allow me to go through this? He's just allowing you to go through that to prove to you that you're not yet ready. He wants to show you. Because when they came to that place, I want to show you the two comparison with the two instances of what happened before and what happened now. The 12 was selected from all the 12 tribes of Israel. It was more like a popular vote. Moses was a diplomatic leader, and you know, he wants to please everybody. He engaged the Pharaoh in international relations, negotiations, you know, on how to bring Israel out. They went, they had meetings from time to time. He came to the point where he had to demonstrate. He brought reasons. He had to demonstrate power and show Pharaoh with the help of God on how to do. But you know, this season is not the season of negotiations. Joshua never negotiated with Balaam, with the king of Jericho. What if he were Moses? What Moses would have done was to, you know, tell, he would send delegates to the king of Jericho, and then they would talk, and he would now negotiate and say, what happened is that God has told us that we are going to take your land. I don't know, what can we do? You know, he was a diplomatic man. But that wasn't Joshua's style because of where we are now, yeah? So the two spies brought word, and this is what they brought. When they came back in Joshua 2, verse 24, they said to Joshua, the Lord has surely given the whole land into our hand, and the people are melting in fear because of us. If we rewind back some chapters back to Numbers 13, when they came to that same point the first time, under the leadership of Moses, what did they bring? In Numbers 13 and verse 27 to 31. Please, sorry if you don't know the story. In this church, we go through the whole Bible. So I believe we're all Bible students. But the Bible is actually a very, very interesting book. So if you're not catching up, please go back and go through these things. This is a very, very interesting story. So in Numbers 13, what happened was that Moses brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. Now, they were just coming out fresh from the world. They were still encumbered with all the thoughts and patterns of the world that they had. So when they got there, they actually thought they were ready. In their mind, they clearly thought they were ready. Let me show you what the report that 12 people selected from all the tribes brought. They said, they gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is the fruit. They got the fruit. But the people who lived there, they brought a boat. Yeah? They brought the fruit. The fruit was good and everything. They confirmed that, yes, the report you gave us was true, but the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified with very large, and even we saw the descendants of Anak. Goliath was a descendant of Anak, yeah? And the Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country. And the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. And Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack these people. That's what they said. They said, they are stronger than we are. And they spread this bad report among the Israelites about the land that they have explored. They said, the land we explored divorced those living in it. Listen to what they said. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilims there. The descendants of Anak come from the Nephilims. We seemed like grasshopper in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. That's the report of the 12, the popular 12 that was selected from everywhere. That shows you that God does not work with crowd. God is just looking for a yielded few to achieve the things that he wants to do. So this teaching series is timely when you look at what heaven is saying now. The truth is that across the world, the enemy has lost grounds and is very furious about it. And coupled with the fact that he is running out of time, what we are discussing is a type of tactical sessions military strategy leaders hold. So I want to clarify that we've been born into a kingdom. The word kingdom means where a king has his domain. We are responsible for advancing God's kingdom and maintaining our position when challenged. Let's consider this. If you take a look at what Moses did and what Joshua had done in this time and in this season for Israel, it took 40 years for Joshua's leadership style to match Israel's need of the moment. That means that before now, Israel didn't need somebody like Joshua. They needed Moses. And it was a time of grace. It was a time of, you know, baby Christianity. It was a time of you fall now, you rise up tomorrow. It was a time of, you know, you lie a bit. It was a time of, you know, still living with those hidden things that nobody knows about. It was that time. In fact, Moses was so nice. God selected the nice guy. He was a meek guy. He was so nice that he came to the point where he staked his own life for the mistakes of the Israelites that he was leading. That's the kind of leader that he was. So he was, these guys, they grumbled a lot of time. They complained a lot of time. If you look at your life, you know, sometimes we actually question God. When little things happen, we complain. In fact, this at the point they said we miss the onions and the leeks of Egypt. In fact, at the point they threatened to go back to Egypt. And one remarkable thing that I found out also is that if you look at Exodus 13:17, I actually did not know this before, but I found out that it would take you 2 weeks to journey from Egypt to Canaan. Just 2 weeks. But God did not take them through that short journey because he needed them to be ready. They thought they were ready, but he needed them to. Let's read it. In Exodus 13 and verse 17, it said, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. But God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea, and the Israelites went out of Egypt ready for battle. So you see, the time they were going out, they thought they were ready for battle, but God knew. Does it happen in your life that some of the things that you're facing now, you think that is not how it's supposed to be, but God knew? Some of the things that you're passing through, God understands you better than you know yourself. That is why you will ask him for, you've been praying for that particular car, and he knows that that's not the type you need. I'm just using an example. That's not the type you need. Yeah, you've been asking for, there's a contract that you've been, you know, you need it. The contract will bring in a lot of money and all that. And God has checked you. If you pass through that way, you will go back. You will go back to Egypt. That's why he has delayed it. He doesn't want it to come. And you're crying, oh God, why would this, oh, I'm your child. Why would I pass through this? Why would this happen to me? How can we as Christians be passing through this kind of, yes, he knows. Because if he lets you, you will change your mind. We won't see you in church again. Yeah. That's why God, you know, in his love, he chose a man like Moses to lead them through at a time like this. So they thought they were ready for battle, but God knows their heart and did what was best for them. He took them through that route so that he will be able to circumcise them, to cut off the foreskin and shed the weight of flesh from them. Now, God does not walk in time, but he walks in seasons. He took them through the desert to deal with the flesh and remove everything that represents the flesh. God brought them to the brink of Canaan to show them that they were not ready. When they sent their representatives, only two came back with good report. Now, most times, I've had people ask this question, if God was good, why is this thing happening? You know, they question God. The truth of the matter is that God is always trying to let us see ourselves. You see, Abraham, God asked Abraham to take Isaac to go and sacrifice him. Does it mean that God doesn't know that Abraham would do that? No, God knows. God wanted Abraham to see himself. God wanted to prove Abraham. It's always about identity. That was also what the devil came to tempt Adam and Eve of in the garden. He asked them, did God tell you that? He just wanted to know. He said, no, it will not be like that. Actually, when you eat it, you will be like God. You would, what are you like before? What was Adam and Eve, what were they like? They were created in God's image. They were like God. They don't know who they are. That's why the devil deceived them. You will be like God. Your eyes will open. I mean, for goodness sake, what are you like? Praise God. Praise God. So, God takes us through these things just to prove ourselves to ourselves. What it does is that it builds that God life in you that you will be able to represent him when the opposing kingdom comes in your face, when they challenge you. Praise God. Time will fail us. We would have delved more, just a little bit into the opposing kingdom, but it's a game of kingdoms and it's all about military strategies of how to take ground from each other. It's not the kingdom of God per se against the kingdom of the devil. It's actually the kingdom of God on earth against the kingdom of the devil. Because our father, how will I put it? Adam gave the right to the devil. That's why he feels like he can run amok and do whatever he wants. The truth of the matter is that all the things that's happening on the earth, there is a God of the earth and he's responsible for that. It is us that will bring the kingdom of God so that there will be calm and order on the disorderliness that we see around us. If we don't bring it, God cannot help it. Praise God. If we don't do it, God cannot help it. Okay. So, now, 40 years, God has dealt with this generation that represents the flesh, and the time has come for Israel to possess their destiny. Israel will have to face what they were not ready for. The time has come for them to take their inheritance. In Deuteronomy 2:24, it said, yes, that's another place that, actually, I want you to open your Bible and read. Let's read this place together. Let's read this place together. It shook me when I read it. Deuteronomy 2:24-25. I want to read it, but I want you to be looking at your Bible. I will read it while you look at your Bible. So he said, set out now and cross the Arnon Gorge. See, I have given into your hand Sihon, the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his country. I need you to be looking at it. It's good you look at it. That's Deuteronomy 2:24-25. Deuteronomy chapter 2:24-25. If you dare say amen.
Amen.
Okay, let's read. So set out now and cross the Arnon Gorge. See, I have given into your hand Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his country. Begin to lounge and enjoy yourself. Begin to take the land and possess. Is it what he said?
No.
No, wait. He said, begin to take possession of it and lounge and enjoy the things that you've taken. Is that what he said? Why would God say, when he's giving you something, why would he say you should engage in battle again? I buy you a gift. I give you the keys. You receive it. I buy you a car, a beautiful car. Give you the keys. You receive. Why would you fight again to drive your car and enjoy yourself? It doesn't make sense, isn't it? That God has given them the land, and he said, now take possession of what I've given you. But he now said, rise and engage in battle over what he has given you already. Does it make sense? It doesn't make sense. But so that's why, you know, the Bible says that his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Actually, how spirits see things is not how we see things. Because it's a game of dimensions. You operate from a higher dimension. When you're operating on a lower dimension, it's very easy to influence the lower dimension. Like these things written here are in two dimensions. I can use a white Tippex and close battle. What happens on this paper? Battle is out. Why? Because I'm in third dimension and this is in two dimension. I can influence it. God is in a higher dimension and we're in third dimension, isn't it? So the way he sees, it was easy for me. I was telling somebody that if you visit a village of ants and they are picking their food and going to that, if you notice most times when you take it out, it's like chaos. They will scatter everywhere, run around. And sometimes if you put your hand in their midst, I don't know if you've done it before. see, the day I did that, God actually spoke to me. He told me that, see, these guys down there, they don't actually see you. What they feel that is how life is. All these changes that you're making, they are trying to adapt to it because they think that's how life is. That's what happens to us. Things from the realm of the spirit can influence what happens to you here. They can influence your thought pattern. They can influence what's happening in your life. Unless we come to this point where we know and then we begin to engage. Praise God. So he said that they should battle to take possession of it. That's the only, when I was praying about it, what God dropped in my heart is that's the only word in the earth realm that can be used to represent what happens in the spiritual realm. Is a battle. That's just what it is. Because it's a contention between two kingdoms, between two realities. Praise God. So he said he has given it, but we should arise and battle. Let us take a quick look at Moses' leadership style and Joshua's leadership style. It will help us to know where we have come to now. This is not a time to chill. This is a time to arise and engage. Yeah, Moses led them through 40 years of desert travel. Joshua led through 30 years of conquering Canaan. Moses was a political and diplomatic leader. Joshua was a military leader, in-your-face type of leader. Moses patiently listened to complaints. Joshua confronted laziness and the fear of the enemy. Moses led people as a peacemaking shepherd. Joshua led people as a tough commander. Moses provided water from the rock when the people got thirsty. Joshua told the people to dig their own wells when they got thirsty. So that's the season that we're stepping into now. In this new season for Israel, Moses cannot lead them again. There's need for raising new leaders and doing new things. Like Andy said the last time, if the kingdom will be advanced, it must be forceful, it must be deliberate, and it must be precise. In Matthew 11 and verse 12, in that place he said that from the time of John the Baptist, it was Jesus, because they've come to a brink of a new season also. He was introducing the kingdom of God. And John the Baptist you know, came and preached to the people for repentance and all that. And Jesus said something. He said, from the time of John the Baptist up till now, that the kingdom of God suffers violence. And only those that are violent will take it by force. That's a strong word. That's a military word. When it means violence, it doesn't mean that we should take machete and be chopped, go to the street and all that. No, but it means that we should come to the realization of these realities and then begin to engage, begin to resist. Praise God. So we are in a new season and we must rise to the occasion. We must push and press into the kingdom. That word push is an acronym for pray until something happens. To strategically position ourselves to attack, we must investigate some of the reality checks for the rules of engagement. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, 3 to 4, it said, join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. These are some of the things that we can and should do to engage, to get ourselves ready. Number one is be prepared. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21, it said, in a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes, some for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purpose, made holy, useful for the master, and prepared to do any good works. That means that we must be prepared. We must get ourselves to that state that God will always use us. The second one is forgiveness. 2 Corinthians 2, 10 and 11. Anyone you forgive, I also forgive. And what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake. In order that, this is the part, the most important part, that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. We are not, you know, one of the biggest ways that the devil confuses people is to make them not know about him. He said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So when the devil makes you feel that devil is a force, some people tell you that demons are a force, they're a thing. These are personalities. These are persons. If we go through the scriptures, we don't have the time, I will show you that they are persons. Jesus talking about the demon, that if you cast out a spirit, it will go through dry places and it will say, I will go back. Who has a will? It's a person. Objects don't have will. Forces don't have will. It's only persons that have will. So to make us play down on what they can do, somebody told me something. He said that one of the biggest strategies of witchcraft is to make people not believe in witchcraft so that they can operate, free. They can run free and manipulate your life and do what they want to do. That mindset that I don't believe in all those things, that's actually a confusion that the devil is sending to you. That's what they want. Amen. So about that forgiveness, there are schemes. This is one of the schemes when the devil, operates underground and make you think that he's not there. It's one of the schemes of the devil. Another scheme of the devil that we want to talk about here is forgiveness. Most times people hurt you and you keep those hurts in your heart. That is what is making you sick. That is what is killing you. That is why God cannot break through in the place where you are, if you are among the people that's holding any hurt. I've had people talk about what their dad did to them. Their dad that is late. As in something that happened 70 years ago, 50 years ago. And he said, what my dad did to me, I would never forgive him and all that. When you hold something against someone, you have actually kept yourself in prison. Because the person you're holding something against is walking free. May not even know about it. Who is hurting It's you. In one of Kenneth Hagin's book, I think it's The Believer's Authority, he was teaching about healing, the healing grace. That there's a woman that was sick that came to the line, healing line, and he laid hands on him to pray for him. Immediately he laid hands, the Holy Spirit said, "Remove your hands." And he was shocked. He said he hears God and he knows how to hear God. And when he put his hands, he said, "Remove your hands again." And when he investigated and asked God, he said, "This woman is holding a grudge against someone. She needs to forgive." And he called her aside, told her, immediately she forgave, she got healed. Praise God. The next one is we need to uphold and strengthen one another in prayers. I called it, "I've got your back covered." In Luke 22:31-32, where Jesus says, "Simon, Simon, the devil wants to shift you, but I've prayed for you. And when you are turned back, strengthen your brothers." So it's about us upholding each other in prayers. The next one is to resist the devil. There's these mind-bending games that the devil plays, and, you know, we may not have all the time to go into the details, but you need to learn how to resist the devil. We don't walk by sight. We don't walk by sensory perceptions. We walk by faith. It's about what is God saying, to hold on to what God has said. The next one is we need to be fit spiritually. And one of the ways, according to the Bible, is in Jude 20:25. It said, "Building up your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit." If you have not received the gift of praying in tongues, that's one of the only gift of the Holy Spirit that you are at will to exercise. The gift of prophecy, just like I said, Kenneth Hagin wanted to heal the woman, but it's not in his will. It's God that will make it happen. But the one of speaking, praying in the Holy Spirit, it's you. You have the ability to do it. Paul said, "I will pray in the Spirit. I will pray in the..." So it's you. You need to be fit spiritually, and that's one of the ways. And the last, but not the least, is Thessalonians 2:18. "For we wanted to come to you, certainly, I, Paul, did again and again, but Satan blocked my way." Everything has an unseen spiritual side, which does not absolve us of human responsibility. But be aware of the enemy's tactics, aims, and manipulations of our human situation. Israel sent spies into the land before they invaded to identify areas of strength and weaknesses. We should not be afraid, because he who is in us is stronger. I want to end with this: not obsessed by the devil, but not naive either. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you one more time for bringing your word to your people. I bless your holy name, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray that we will take this word and make use of it. In Jesus' name. One of the things I want to ask your permission, one of the things that God brought to my heart is that he wants to demonstrate the advancement of his kingdom when we share this word. He wants to confirm his word. Is there any person here who is sick in the body? I want to pray for you. If you have pains in any part of your body, if you're sick in your body, as I was praying upstairs, it wasn't part of the plan. As I was praying upstairs, the word dropped in my heart that I want to confirm the things that you've said. I want to advance my kingdom, and I want you to pray for people that are sick. You don't need to come out. You can place your hand where it is, where you have your pains. Yeah, you can place your hands there. Place your hands there now. I want to pray for you. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you for your word. The Bible says on that day that as Jesus was speaking, that the power of God was present to heal them. Lord, I pray that any person that is placing hands where they have an ailment, I come against those ailments now from this altar in the name of Jesus. I ask you, sickness, get out in Jesus' name. Whatsoever be the cause, Get out now in Jesus' name. Let the healing power of God come upon you. Receive healing from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. Every ligament, every sinew, every blood tissue, every part of you, receive God's healing now. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.